Hi, my name is Wendy Wesley. I'm a registered and licensed dietitian nutritionist here in St. Pete, and welcome to the podcast, St. Pete Eats. St. Pete Eats is a collection of stories about farmers and gardeners and food pantries, food policy, personal chefs, and culinary innovators who are doing and making incredible things throughout our city. And I'm really grateful to have a guest today, Christy Capone with The Avocado. She is a personal chef and a caterer and a maker. And Christy, I was just telling you outside that I've been following you for a couple of years, and I'm a real fan of yours because you never seem to stop. So tell me, when do you sleep, or do you?
I do sleep, believe it or not. But like I said before, my brain is constantly working overtime, so I like to keep busy. And when I'm not sleeping, I'm always making, doing, and thinking.
See, I follow your social media, and I see gorgeous photos of food. Mm-hmm. And I'm also an admirer of your website and your logo and your entire company presence. And I read online that your husband does all of your graphic design. You're fortunate.
Thank goodness, because I have no graphic ability. Even though I am a photographer, I'm not a graphic artist. So I am very fortunate that he takes care of that end of things for me.
I saw last week you catered a beautiful wedding. It looked mm-hmm. like out at the Thunderbird. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me how that client found you and the outcome of that? Because I saw the photos. They were just absolutely beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, I've catered two weddings in the last month, believe it or not. I believe they probably found me through my website, word of mouth. I don't advertise. I just have a social media presence and my website, and the word of mouth gets me pretty far. So I'm pretty certain they were recommended to me.
Mm-hmm. And you're very unique because you are a vegan chef.
Mm-hmm.
And do you find that limits you, or do you find that people are kind of coming around and you that's not a limitation anymore?
No, I think it separates me from all the other personal chefs out there locally. There are a lot of vegan or vegetarian or plant-based personal chefs in the area, but I don't find it limits me at all. As a matter of fact, it challenges me to be better and do better and come up with more creative recipes and things to make for people. And I've never doubted for a moment that being a vegan personal chef would be a hindrance at all.
Now, you named your company The Avocado. Can you tell me why you named it The Avocado? And can you explain the period? It's avocado period, isn't it?
It's just avocado with the period. I just did that to stand out.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of a word mark. I've made it into a word mark, and it separates the word avocado from my business.
Right. My good friend Janet Keeler, she teaches food photography, and I have noticed that your food photography is really beautiful. What kind of tips can you give us for gorgeous food presentation and food photography?
I don't want to give away my secret because it's
don't do that.
Silly. I do have a good app that I use to brighten the images and sharpen the images. Again, I'm not using a fancy camera to take pictures of my food. I love colorful food, and when I make colorful food, it turns out better on film or on camera, rather, and it just looks good rather than a two-color meal, lots of fresh vegetables and spices and whatever you can put on there to enhance the photo. That's what really makes it look good. The food does most of the work.
Now, I'm not a vegan or a vegetarian, but my food philosophy as I get older is what I call plant majority.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm always trying to find more ways to consume more plant proteins and fewer animal proteins. So can you tell me about your journey from, I'm assuming you were at one time a meat eater, and mm-hmm. I did read online that you then went to vegetarian and then to veganism. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me the reason behind your change in diet and your business philosophy to feature only plant-based foods?
Sure. It was about 2008, 2009, and my son Julian, who was in high school at the time, got this idea that he would go vegan. And I was not even vegetarian at the time. So, of course, his veganism didn't last, but that sort of spurred me on to exploring veganism and vegetarianism and really trying to make a case for eating more healthfully. Mm-hmm. The very first vegan cookbook I bought was by a chef called Brian Terry. Are you familiar with him?
No, I'm not.
Okay, you're going to have to look him up because he's pretty amazing. He's got several cookbooks out, but the first vegan cookbook I ever bought was by Bryant, and I made several recipes in the book, and it sort of just spurred me on to exploring new foods that I've never tried before, like tempeh and tofu and different types of beans and lots of herbs, and I thought, wow, this is really neat. So I did eventually slowly phase out meat. It took a while, and I recommend that you do it slowly. It's not going to be a transformative overnight sort of thing. And the more I read about factory farming and animal cruelty, that really made me think in more of an ethical term. Mm-hmm. That I don't want to consume animal products because I look at my cats and I think, well, cats are no different from pigs or cows or mm-hmm. sheep. You know, they are sentient beings. They have personalities, and they deserve to live too. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to eat them. They are I consider animals my friends, so I don't want to eat my friends.
Okay. I was talking to someone, a physician, and he said, you know, veganism is a big tent, and all kinds of people can come under the vegan tent for different reasons. And some come under the vegan tent for health, some come under for ethics, and some increasingly come under for environmental reasons, because we really do know that one of the greatest producers of greenhouse gases are animal production. So would you say that you come to veganism from all three, or from the health and the ethics side of things?
I started with the health side of things. My family's history of health isn't that great. And I thought, like, maybe I'll nip it in the bud, you know, mm-hmm. and get on the journey to better health, knowing that when I get older, I definitely want to have that good health. And then I transferred into more of an ethical standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Okay. In my practice, I primarily rail against processed foods, and many clients come to me, they want to be plant-based, because there are, as I always say, veganism today is very different than it was 10 years ago. There are vegan products that exist today that don't exist a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. I have noticed your cooking is all fresh, looks like all scratch, and uses very little, probably no processed vegan foods. What's your opinion about the world of processed vegan foods?
I'm not a huge fan of the processed foods. I think they're very convenient for people who are new to vegetarianism or veganism. I wouldn't rail against them too hard because people need sort of a soft entry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think they're very helpful, and I think they've been improved in the last 10, 15 years. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more to choose from. So I would really recommend, you know, if you're trying vegetarianism and you don't want to go full bore, you know, plant-based, whole foods, you know, that's a little difficult for some people. That's a lot to swallow. Mm-hmm. I think they have a place, mm-hmm. some of the processed stuff, but again, everything in moderation.
Yeah.
I like to make things from scratch because the more I read about processed food, the more I go ew, and I'm an avid cookbook reader, so I'm constantly poring over cookbooks and trying to find recipes that I can make things from scratch. I make my own pizza dough from scratch, all of my salad dressings. Mm-hmm. I make hummus from scratch, gravy, anything like that. I even make my own vegan sausage.
Okay.
And pepperoni and chicken wings.
Okay.
The chicken, quote unquote. But that's just me. You know, I like to tinker in the kitchen. So tinkering in the kitchen usually produces more of a healthful product than you would find in the store.
As a cook, are you a recipe follower, or are you more cook from the hip?
A little of both.
Both.
I like to riff off of recipes. I found some. I usually go on Pinterest of all things mm-hmm. when I'm not looking at my cookbooks, and I find some neat things, and I usually riff off of that. And I also am a big fan of using what you have in the kitchen. I don't like to, you know, if you don't have a particular kind of cheese or a particular spice or herb, just use what you've got as long as it, you know, goes with the recipe.
Yeah, I spend a lot of time with cooking lessons teaching people to understand what easy substitutions can make, because I know some people are just, they follow a recipe and they'll come to an ingredient that they don't have and it's full stop and the whole thing is thrown away. Mm-hmm. And so I try and teach people to look to understand maybe a little bit of food chemistry so they can understand that how easy substitutions can be made if they don't have the perfect, for instance, if a recipe calls for Dijon and all you have is hot dog, go for hot dog mustard. It's okay. Mm-hmm. It's not the end of the world. Nobody's going to die.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I also recommend to clients, I can recommend certain basic pantry items for them to keep on hand. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes people go, I don't know what to get. You know, what do I buy? What do I do? What, you know, and I can help out with that too. Right. Certain things that you keep on hand, dried beans and certain herbs and certain spices and things like that. The pantry basics, I can help clients with that too.
Yeah, pantry staples are the backbone to home cooking. Now, Christy, mm-hmm. you have a full-time job. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm fascinated by how you have a full-time job and you run this side business. I'm fascinated by that. Tell me about how you managed to run a successful food catering teaching business and keep a full-time job.
Well, you didn't mention that I'm also an artist and photographer.
Well, that too, because every time I turn around, there's a painting, there's something you've made, there's something you've crocheted. That's why my first question to you is, when does Christy Capone sleep?
Right. Christy does sleep. I just have learned the older I get to manage my time more wisely.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right.
That's really the basis of it. I manage my time wisely, and I do sleep. And when I wake up, the first thing I do is plan my day. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I plan the week ahead, and would go from there.
Okay, I see you have a weekly meal prep service, mm-hmm. and that is desperately needed. Work with so many clients who say, do you have anybody who does that? And I've recommended a couple your way. So who is your typical client for that weekly meal service?
People that don't like to cook, people that don't have time to cook, people who are overwhelmed by the thought of making a week's worth of meals, new parents, families that are on the go and always busy. I've even helped some people that have health issues. I've created a certain menu for them, tailored by their physician. And people that just want to try out vegan food who maybe have never tried it before.
Mm-hmm.
So those are my people.
And then, so this is done in your kitchen. And so, tell me, how do you stay organized? Because this is a lot of work. I see what you're putting out, and I think, oh God, she's working so hard. Because food is hard. Food is labor intensive. Food is heavy. Food is exhausting. You know, they said, Wendy, have a career in food. It'll be fun. They said. And sometimes when I'm schlepping ingredients across a parking lot in 100 degree heat, I think, what am I doing in the food business? I'm exhausted. So tell me about your process for staying organized and just keeping it all going.
Well, when I do meal prep, I go to clients' homes and I use their kitchen and their pots and pans and their storage containers and all of that. I usually keep, for my regular clients, I keep a running menu of their likes and dislikes, any allergies. Everything goes into a notebook so I can remember what they like, what they don't like. So people don't like green peppers, and some people don't like raw garlic. Some people don't like spicy food. It all goes into a very organized notebook.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you mentioned salad dressings. I teach people to make homemade salad dressings all the time. What's your favorite? What's your go-to?
Can't beat a good vinaigrette.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And lately I've been making a lot of lemonettes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, instead of vinaigrettes. And those have been really popular.
Definitely lemon plays a big part in any salad dressing. I use a lot of fresh lemon. I have lemons all the time sitting on the counter. Use them in hummus. Put them in a nice vinaigrette salad dressing, a sprinkle of fresh lemon over a finished dish brings out the flavors. I do make a really good Caesar dressing though. I had that at the wedding a few weeks ago, and people were raving over the Caesar dressing, believe it or not. And I said, you don't know what my secret ingredient is.
Well, I'd love for you to tell me your secret ingredient, but I will respect if you don't.
It's not really secret. It's actually made from chickpeas.
Oh, okay.
Chickpeas, lemon, olive oil, capers, a little caper juice, salt, pepper, and garlic, and that's it. You just whiz it up in the blender, and it makes a fantastic Caesar dressing.
Yeah, beautiful. One of my favorites is just a green goddess tahini. Mm-hmm. I'd like to make a tahini dressing and then put the fresh herbs in the food processor, and it turns nuclear green. Yes. And when I'm teaching kids to cook, I always make nuclear green goddess, because they go crazy for nuclear green food.
Yeah, like I said before, colors, colorful food, pretty food. Mm-hmm. I think that is the more appealing than just something that's dull.
Right. Yeah. And then also, who in the St. Pete food scene do you follow? Or
you.
Well, I wasn't expecting that. That's true. But who else is doing interesting things, either in the restaurant scene or in the chef scene, or really gardening, farming? Like, who's making the St. Pete food scene a bit more interesting?
To be honest, I don't really follow that many people other than you. I think there are good things happening in St. Pete. Mm-hmm. The 15th Street Garden, is that
Yeah,
what it's
the
called?
Farm. Uh-huh.
The farm, that's making good inroads. I'm hoping that there is more to follow. If you have anybody that you recommend, please let me know. But I think that we're on a good path for healthful, vibrant eating in town, and I think that there's definitely room for more than one of us.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
A few of us.
Yeah, yeah.
But I do follow you, yes. I'm very, very impressed by what you do, too, teaching, and I'm very admirable of that.
Well, thank you. I'm learning agriculture from Robin Clemens at Daystar, and I'm collecting so many new forms of produce from gardens in St. Petersburg, and I gotta say, it's really changed my cooking when I go to a farm or a garden and they put something in my arms. Mm-hmm. And they say, here, go for it. Go make something. Yeah. And so I find that kind of creativity fantastic.
I would love a challenge like that. Mm-hmm. That would be right up my alley. I love just getting my brain going. And like if somebody handed me a head of, Swiss chard or something. Mm-hmm. Or I would love that.
Yeah, I
definitely
find
go for a challenge.
That's been happening a lot. Post-pandemic, it seems that gardens and farms have just kind of exploded around St. Mm-hmm. Pete. So I'll be talking to a lot of farmers and gardeners, and then we'll also be talking about what do we do with the food that we take out of the ground, because I find that to be a big challenge. Is you can put the food in, give the food from people to from farms and gardens, but then the challenge is, well, what the heck do I do with it? And so I find I'm excited to come up with very, very easy recipes again, 4 or 5 ingredients or less. And of course, vinaigrettes, lemonades, and salad dressings are a big, big part of that. Because how do I take this great food that was grown in the soil in St. Pete and make it something that, how do I make dinner with it?
I think a lot of people don't think of it in those terms. They just see this head of lettuce or these turnips, and they don't think about where they came from, you know. And I think what you're doing is excellent too. I mean, that's you're changing people's minds about food, and that's important too. We have to sort of rewire our brains.
Yeah. Well, I really am so grateful that you took some time out of your day to come and talk to us about what you're doing. And I think you're a special person in our city.
Thank you.
Because you are a maker. And I think I want to wrap my arms around the makers of this city and promote them and support them.
I think we all need to do that. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate you having me on the show.
Yeah. Well, if you'd like more information about my cooking lessons or my nutrition services, you can find me at WendyWesleyNutrition.com. And I've got some cooking classes that'll probably form in the fall once I kind of get my head wrapped around what I want to make. And then where can people find you, Christy?
AvocadoSt.Pete.com.
Okay.
And I have a presence on Instagram and Facebook as well. Same thing, Avocado St. Pete.
All right. It was good to have you on.
Thank you.
I really appreciate your time.
Thanks. I enjoyed it. This was a lot of fun.
Good. Thanks.